Your first record will be released on Friday, 29th, right? It's exciting, isn't it?
It's wild. I can't, I still kind of don't necessarily believe that it's going to happen, but I think that's just because I've become so accustomed to everything changing with all the COVID stuff. So I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of getting really excited, but I'm also like, but what if it doesn't happen? but yeah, trying to balance the two out so that I'm prepared for if it does come out and when it does come out. It's definitely coming out. There's no if.
And there's a lot of resonance, is there? So a lot of press and journalists are jumping on you because it's quite good, this record.
Oh, thanks. yeah, it seems to be doing really well. I don't actually read any of the stuff because it makes my brain go a bit weird. But my brother earlier was texting my family WhatsApp, like sending links to reviews and stuff, being like, oh my God, look at what Anna's doing. And I was kind of like, ah, I can't look. But yeah, it's really exciting. People are being really, really lovely and giving it. I feel like it's a record that kind of rewards a lot of time spent with it. And I feel like people are giving it that. So I feel really, really happy about that.
You are quite frequently compared with artists like Aldous Harding, Angel Olsen, I would say PJ Harvey as well. So did they all inspire you a lot in your childhood and youth?
Do you know what? I haven't listened to them that much. It's kind of a weird thing. I feel like a lot of the people who I've been compared to, I never really listened to. And after I was compared to them, I started listening to them and I'm like, oh my God, I really like this. But I also am like, oh wow, if people think I sound like this, that's kind of wild. It's very, very flattering for me. Yeah, I think my influences are kind of from a strange concoction of things, because my parents are both classical musicians. So I had a lot of classical music when I was growing up, and a lot of jazz as well. That was kind of the other main section of music. And then I seem to have got quite big blank spots where I've never really listened to people, but I'm rectifying that at the moment with things like PJ Harvey and Angel Olsen and Aldous Harding. I've listened to a little bit more, but again, only after the fact.
Yeah, and your songs on this record are described as, like skeleton paintings. Can you feel that? I mean, there's only your voice and guitar, of course, so it's quite skeleton. But what would you say? What if your songs would be paintings? What would you paint?
Oh wow! I think, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like they do get kind of called like, yeah, skeletal or like stripped down or very raw. And I feel like I'm always kind of like, let's put more stuff in. Let's do more things. I think there's an element of like vulnerability and bravery in kind of not doing too many things to it. In just having, like, you know, it being quite stripped back and quite simple in arrangement. I feel like if I was kind of painting them, I think there would be an element of like, I think they would be very self-portrait-y, but maybe with a kind of an attempt to like explain the inside as well as just the outside, because I feel like that's what I try to do quite a lot in my songs. But maybe they'd be more kind of a bit more like realistic. I'm trying to think of who, there's a painter that I'm thinking of, but I can't remember her name. She had a big exhibition at the Tate a couple of years ago, and I feel like it would maybe be kind of, well, I would be very honoured if it was kind of like hers, but I'd hope that it would be kind of like hers, because they're very precise and they're like, they're quite surreal, but also have like real elements. So it's all recognisable, but everything's just slightly a tiny bit weird. So I think probably like that.
So it's rather your soul on the painting than your naked body, for example, although your soul is naked as well.
Yeah, I think so. I find that much more exposing in a way. But yeah, it's interesting because I have been thinking about that recently. I've been thinking about, like, it feels much more cerebral. It feels much more, much less bodily and much more like, you know, talking about my brain all the time. Because even when I'm talking about my body in the songs, it's still all coming from my brain, if that makes sense.
And you experimented a lot this time. So you had a cooperation with William Doyle, and yeah, was it hard to finish this record, and why?
Yeah, it was. So when I was working with Will, we had an amazing time, and it wasn't kind of hard to finish once I'd got to that point with him. It just took us a while because we both had other jobs that we were doing all the time, so it kind of time-wise it took a while. But writing this album I found really, really hard, because when I started out, which was just after my first EP came out, I just felt like I had super low self-esteem, and I didn't feel like I knew how to write songs anymore, and I didn't feel like I had anything worth saying. So it took me a while to kind of get out of that mindset and basically learn who I was again and like build myself up into someone who felt kind of confident enough to write songs, even though at that point I was just writing them for me. There was no pressure, there was no one who was interested, but I still was finding it found it really hard for a good few years there.
Yeah, in the song Dead Pursuits you sing about this exactly, so this artistic crisis, the low self-esteem, loss of self-confidence. How did you get over it? I mean, especially this song for me is one of the best songs on a record, so it's a bit contradictory, no? You sing about your lack of self-confidence, but you have so much reason to be self-confident.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, well, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It doesn't always make sense. Like, the way that you talk to yourself internally doesn't always resonate with how other people experience you or like what's going on. But that was like kind of at the beginning of the writing process. So I wrote that one maybe a couple of years before I started recording the album. And at that point I was working in a toy shop, and I was like, I'd been trying to do music for ages, and it was getting to the point where like my friends and my family were kind of sitting me down and being like, you know, are you gonna actually do this? Like, are you actually gonna try? Or are you actually gonna be able to do this? Or like, should you start thinking about alternative things to do? And they were like, you know, we have faith in you, but it's kind of tearing you apart. And I think that was one of the things that I was trying to address in that song, because it was like, I felt like I just felt like I'd been trying for such a long time and nothing was happening. And, you know, my trying maybe hadn't been visible to other people. And that just felt really hard. It kind of felt like that moment where you're like, oh, what? Like, how do I continue doing this? But I have to, but it's really painful. but yeah. Oh, I'm glad you like that song. I was really pleased with it when I wrote it, and I sent it to my manager at the time, and he was like, yeah. I was like, what do you mean? No, this one's a really good one, I promise. And it was kind of, yeah, I felt like I had to fight for that song, and I guess that's, you know, a perfect analogy, because I'm kind of fighting for my career as well.
Is it your favorite as well, or do you have another?
I think my favorite changes all the time. I'll hear one and I'll be like, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I'll hear one and I'll be like, oh, this is definitely my favourite. And then a couple of days later, I'll be like, no, it isn't. That section of that is my favourite. Or like, yeah, it changes a lot.
Was the whole process of writing and recording, was it a kind of a catharsis for you?
The recording, yes. But I would say the writing, definitely not. I only felt catharsis once I'd written the whole album. but the process of writing I find incredibly difficult and really, really taxing. And I think I'd always assumed that it was easy because I feel like quite a lot of the time, the kind of the toil and the work of actually putting this stuff together isn't really explained that much to like other artists from other artists. So that kind of, you know, the narrative of like, oh, I had a dream about this song and I woke up and I wrote it all down, or like, oh, this song just like came to me. It's like, no. I had to work so hard to write all these songs and I had to like keep showing up all the time and it was exhausting. And it's like, yeah, I found it really difficult. But then I got to the recording part, which, and maybe it was because it was with Will and he's wonderful, but it was just so joyful and we had such a good time. And I was like, is this what music's meant to be like? Is this like the collaboration thing that people keep talking about? Just having him there, having his input, his energy, being able to like bounce ideas off someone else. It was just amazing. And I love that. That felt like a proper kind of excellent experiential thing. And I felt the kind of, yeah, the catharsis of the initial writing, like build up, I think.
What questions would you say do you pose in the record and what are the answers?
Oh God, I think I pose almost every question about myself if possible. I guess like the questions are like, who do I think I am? Like, what do I like? What am I feeling a lot of the time? Like, what am I feeling? How do I know if I'm feeling it? And I think almost always the answer is, I don't know. but trying to, yeah, I guess trying to put a voice to those questions is for me quite a strong thing in itself anyway, because I don't know, for me a lot of the time it's quite hard to hear that stuff in the first place. But yeah, it's basically all question marks.
It's a big question, so yeah. It's enough to have this one. We have to talk about birds. There are a lot of birds on your record. So I start with corncrakes. In German, it's Wachtel. So it's almost an unknown bird. So I don't even know how it looks like. So I had to Google it. And on the cover of the single, there's you, yeah, naked, your body with these corncrakes on your left. Or I don't know if these are corncrakes, but these little birds on your left side, your left shoulder. What do they symbolize for you, these birds or corncrakes? It's special.
So I think corncrakes, for me, I've only started to maybe realize what they mean way after, like now, having finished the album like a year ago. And I think the corncrakes, so corncrakes are nocturnal and they're migratory and they have a really harsh kind of noise, which is known as like the crex-crex, which is where the corncrake kind of name comes from. But they are quite hard to spot. So I was reading this book called The Outrun by Amy Liptrot, and she is in Orkney. She was in Orkney, it's a memoir, and she was working for the Royal Society of the Protection of Birds, and she was doing a corncrake like survey, and she would go out every night and she would try and count how many corncrakes she could hear, and then she would try and spot them so that she could write them down. And all of the time that she was doing it, she could hear them, and she could hear them every night, but she never saw one the entire time. And I think it was interesting because then I was reading another book which had corncrakes in it, and like you, I'd never heard of a corncrake before that first instance with them in the first book. And I was like, huh, okay, that's interesting. And I feel like there's something now to do with that, like being slightly out of sync with something, slightly out of touch, and kind of knowing it's there but not quite understanding it, not quite knowing how to actually witness it, how to bear witness to it. So that's kind of what I think Corncrake has now become. At the time, I didn't know why I was writing about Corncrake, so I was just like, I'm going to put this next to this, and it makes perfect sense in my brain, but I don't know why. And then I think birds in general, again, it just felt like, I don't know if this is true for everyone who kind of has worked on like a kind of bigger project, like an album or a, you know, a book or a series of paintings or whatever, but it feels like every once in a while you just get like hints from the world and they just kind of keep cropping up, and you can choose to ignore them or you can choose to be just follow it. And I was about halfway through writing this album and I had a dream where a dream version of me stood and basically said to me, you've got half of an album and there are too many birds in it. And I was like, oh, I've got half of an album and I need to put more birds in it, because you can't always trust your dream self. So yeah, I felt like I just started just trying to pick up these like bird references wherever they were. And at that point I was getting really into bird watching, and it just felt like a kind of natural way to kind of position myself and just take notice of them, I guess.
So if I got you right, they stand a little bit for these hints you can't really see, but they are here, and yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You can follow them. Yeah, I thought it could as well be a kind of feeling, so a feeling of love you can't realize.
Yeah.
You know it's there, but you can't keep it or touch it, or yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially the case with love is, can you ever trust it? So maybe tomorrow it's over.
Mm-hmm. It's fleeting, yeah. And it has the freedom to just leave, much like, you know, flying birds, they can just go.
Yeah, it flies away, love, yeah. Yeah. It's a good metaphor. I think it's the next song, Bed-Stuy. It's a place in England.
It's in New York.
New York?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, this could be, for me, it could be a memory of such a kind of feeling, such a kind of love, maybe a perfect one, but you can't keep it. So
that's really interesting. Yeah, I guess. So this is like, this is a kind of love song that I wrote for one of my best friends. So I guess it is kind of a perfect love, because, you know, I mean, obviously there's always a danger that you'll fall out, but it doesn't feel as precarious as like a kind of sexual romantic love, although we are very romantic with each other, but we're not sexual with each other. So yeah, I guess that's it's totally right.
Yeah, love doesn't have to be always sexual.
Exactly, totally, yeah. And I feel it's really important to be romantic with your friends, which is something that I always try to be, because it's, you know, it's important.
Go on talking about birds, there's some more on the record. On the cover, for example, you have these wings in your face, and this is more a big and dark one. It's like from a raven or crow, I don't know. And yeah, it reminds me of some movies, for example, Birdman or The Black Swan or even The Crow, this big one from the 90s. I don't know if you know it.
I don't know.
Okay, you're maybe too young. So it was a really big movie. Or even Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds. So yeah. It's an important topic for movies, and I ask myself, what do they stand for if they are so important? So they are maybe they are dark a little bit. So you have this dark wing, black wing, and powerful at the same time. They can liberate. So why all these dark birds on your record?
I guess all of those things are totally right, but I don't think it was as conscious as me being like, you know, thinking of like the lineage of the birds or the crow or black swan or a birdman or anything. I think with that image specifically, it wasn't it wasn't a kind of thought out thing. I actually have it here, but it was a bird that we were using as a prop, and the wings just came separately, and I just had them in my hand, and I was kind of like, huh. And I was just doing it as a bit of a joke, and the photographer Ebru saw it, and she was like, you got to do that again. We're going to take some photos like that. And I was like, okay. So we kind of did it, and looking through all the photos at the end, I actually initially hadn't wanted a photo of me on the front of the album, but that one felt just about like, just about distant but close enough to actually put there, because it is still just my face and my torso, but because I am being covered a little bit, I was like, it kind of has the intrigue and the questioning and the mystery and the like, the kind of the I wanted it to be to kind of encourage people to be like, huh, what's going on there? And I think it has kind of done that. And I just think it's a really strong image. Again, I'm not sure if I exactly know why I chose it, but I was just like, that's the one. Maybe in like 5 years, we'll do this again and I'll be like, I've got the answer. I've thought about it really hard.
Okay, maybe when you dream it, then you have the answer.
Yeah, it's very true.
The last one is the tern. So I have to say it in German again because it's really uncommon. It's the Meeresschwalbe, so it's a quite small bird, isn't it?
It's, yeah, I think they're like, yeah, that kind of big.
And is it a wordplay? So the record is called the Common Tern, and then you have the tern.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a completely conscious wordplay, but I kind of wrote the first few lines of A Common Tern, the song, and realized that I was thinking about A Common Tern in a very different way to actually, because I again didn't know what the bird was. I spent, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes googling it, trying to work out what it was after I saw it for the first time, and I think I kind of heard it and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I didn't really think much of it, but there's, when I was writing that song, I think I was trying to it was like I'd suddenly kind of granted myself permission to talk about this one relationship. And what I wanted to express was like that moment of kind of no return. So like a kind of a split second moment that potentially other people have experienced, but I definitely experienced in that one, where I suddenly realized, I was like, oh no, this is not a good relationship for me to be in. This is not a good place for me to be in. And it was as simple as that kind of switch that happened one night. And it was, yeah. So the common turn in my mind was that turn, that switch from being like, okay, we can do this and we can work all the stuff out, and the switch between that, or being like, actually, this is really damaging and this isn't what we should be doing. And I need to kind of get myself out of this somehow. But yeah, again, I hadn't really like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do some wordplay. It just kind of popped into my head and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I realized afterwards that like when I was talking to my label about it and stuff, I was like, oh yeah, maybe this doesn't, in my head, it made perfect sense. And maybe it needs a little bit more explanation or like, a little bit more thinking about to try and make it understandable for everyone else. But yeah, that was a long-winded answer, sorry.
But there's, beyond the lyrics, there's a lot of passion in this song. So musically, it's really full, more than your voice and guitar. So it's not really, it doesn't really represent this break-up story.
I think it's more of a kind of break-free,
okay,
story. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's too violent to say that it's a bit of a like war cry, but it definitely, I wanted it to be like really powerful and big, because it's that moment of being like, okay, I choose myself. Like I'm choosing my happiness over whatever is happening in this bad relationship.
And is there a direct link to the next song, Chelsea Hotel Number 3?
Not a direct link per se. Although, I mean, all of my songs are, in my mind, quite kind of interwoven and quite linked. But yeah, Chelsea Hotel Number 3, I guess it's linked in the sense that I had an idea that I wanted to write, and I was like, I want to write a song about, and Chelsea, I mean, Common Turn, it was like, I want to write a song about that moment of choosing yourself. And then in Chelsea Hotel Number 3, I was like, I want to write about how annoyed I am that I've spent all of this time not taking my own desire or pleasure seriously. So I guess maybe there is a direct link, because it's, yeah, it's like paying attention to yourself and choosing your own things. It's strange being this like self-reflexive about my work, because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, maybe there is a link.
Yeah, who knows? There's no truth
yeah.
in art in this way.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I was wondering why another song called Hotel. So you have Chelsea Hotel Number 3 and then just Hotel. So why that? I mean, in Hotel, it's more or less about, about loneliness. But is it loneliness as an artist on tour, or loneliness when you are not with yourself, in yourself?
I mean, interesting. It's probably about both. I definitely meant to write it about the kind of loneliness of being, yeah, on your own on tour and kind of having worked for that moment forever and then getting to the moment and being like, why don't I feel like completely fulfilled? Why don't I feel like perfect now? And just feeling like there's always something, you know, a couple of steps ahead that you're desperately trying to like reach for. There is a huge amount of loneliness in that song. And part of me also, like, there's a lot of kind of, for me, there's a lot of little like things that I do to make myself feel kind of at home. So like coping mechanisms for feeling like lonely or sad. So things like, I don't know, like listening to Pink Moon, or like tucking myself in, or having like, you know, things that smell like the things that I love or the people that I love. So it's kind of it's a weird one, because it is definitely, you know, it's a bit despairing, but it is also, it's like a quite a concerted effort to try and make yourself feel a bit better in a way. I think so. I'm trying to think, because I've changed the lyrics to Hotel. I think I wrote that about over the span of like 4 years, and it was just changing all the time, and things were getting added in and then taken away and moved around. And yeah, that was a really, that felt like a really difficult but really rewarding song when I finally kind of slightly pieced it together. And I changed the lyrics on the day that I recorded it as well. So it was literally completely moving around all the time right up until the end. But I guess at some point you just got to be like, okay, fine, that's it. It's happening. But it's fun.
Yeah, maybe one last song. It's the last one, I guess. One. Again, we have this toxic relationship. Is it the same person like in Common Turn, or completely different story?
So one is quite different. That was a song that was off my first EP that we redid for the album. And it was kind of an amalgamation of lots of different experiences and people and kind of moments that I guess I'd been in and ways that I'd felt. It's not a specific person, more just like that kind of mosaic thing, or like the pieces of the puzzle thing, where like I was getting my information from all of the bits of my life and kind of putting them together. It definitely is quite different to a Common Turn in that sense, that it wasn't like pinpointed at one, towards one thing or one moment. But it definitely was something that I experienced a lot, and I felt a lot, and I felt that like I wasn't in touch with my body and I really didn't like it, and I felt like I was getting that kind of feedback from the outside world as well. So it was it's a sad one.
So the outside world, and especially in a relationship or love situation, or in general?
Yeah, or even just, yeah, no, in like really intimate, vulnerable situations, like not even necessarily love, just relationships, but with people, you know, you're kind of putting yourself in a vulnerable position when you're sleeping with someone, or when you're like in a relationship with someone, you're exposing yourself like emotionally, and you're kind of exposing your vulnerabilities. And I think there were a few instances where people kind of were like, I don't think they were purposefully cruel, but they were kind of callous in the way that they talked about it, or like the way that they talked about my body. And I think the kind of difference of people saying like a throwaway line and not really thinking anything about it, because the person is seemingly okay, but that's because they've spent their whole time trying to like, I don't know, trying to hide bits of themselves, or not being entirely honest about how they feel about themselves, or how they feel about their body, or how they feel about their relationship to their body. Yeah, again, just loads of question marks. but lots of, I think, sad things that happen when you're a kind of young, like, well, I hope it's happening less and less, but when you're a young woman and in sexual scenarios with heterosexual men.
Would you say that it's harder for a woman? All the stuff you just described, is it more a topic for young women than for young men?
I think increasingly young men are feeling the same things. I think that just social media in general is like a reason for a massive rise in people feeling really like body conscious and feeling like what's it called, body dysmorphia, when they kind of like don't believe how their body looks, and they think that they're too, you know, too big, too small, too fat, too thin, too whatever. I think it's kind of, I would say the balance is still slightly towards women, but I feel like men are definitely experiencing it more and more.
In the end, I just wanted to say you again that I really enjoyed reading your lyrics, because I found they were, at the same time, they're deep, poetic, but quite clear as well. So that's really good work.
Thank you. That's really lovely to hear. Yeah, I get frustrated when it's too poetic and it's completely inaccessible. And you're like, but what do you mean?
Yeah, for me as a journalist, it's so hard sometimes to have any clue. And then I just interpretate something and it's completely, yeah, nonsense sometimes.
Yeah, totally. But I guess, part of me is like, oh, maybe I should be much more closed off about where all of my stuff comes from and like, you know, where my lines of thought go. But then I'm brought back to me thinking about writing an album again and being like, I think people trying to keep that kind of stuff close to their chest sometimes makes it seem like it's like this mysterious thing and you don't have to think about it and it just arises and it just happens. And it's like, no, I worked really hard. Took me a really long time. This is how I did it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Anna Bisewicz. And yeah, happy birthday on Friday.
Oh, thank you.